You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome. Join our regular team and maybe a few special guests as they give you the lowdown on movies, TV shows, games, or just whatever they want to talk about. It's the best of geek from week to week, live on Twitch and direct in your ears via the podcast.
Ever since I got bit by that spider, I've only had 1 week where my life has felt normal. That was when you found out.
When you botched that spell where you wanted everyone to forget the Peter Parker Spider-Man, we started getting some visitors. From every universe. Hello, Peter. You're not Peter Parker.
I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Dr. Otto Octavius.
Wait, no, seriously, what's your actual name?
There are others out there. We need to send them back. So,
Scooby-Doo this crap.
You know, all this is kind of your mess. I know a couple of magic words myself, starting with the word please.
Please, Scooby-Doo this crap.
You're flying out into the darkness to fight ghosts.
What do you mean?
They all die fighting Spider-Man. It's their fate. I'm sorry, kid.
Yeah, me too.
Don't.
Look, there has to be another way.
There isn't. They're a danger to our universe.
You're not gonna take this away from me.
Peter, you're struggling to have everything you want while the world tries to make you choose.
It's all my fault. I can't save everyone.
What's happening?
They're starting to come through, and I can't stop them.
Hello!
Hey!
Hello and welcome to the Periodic Table. I'm awesome! How are we all?
Woo! Great!
You're great.
I want to know if anyone can hear me or have I become the robot Max Headroom.
No, we can hear you. You are, like, not matched. You look almost like a bad dub of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. My favorite part about it is you going... while your voice continues on, your face stops. Hey,
this is just the most amazing thing ever.
It's amazing. It's spectacular.
It's friendly. It's a neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's like, welcome to our friendly neighborhood of amazing and spectacular people. How are we all this fine, fine evening?
Quite remote. Very far away. For everything. In some ways it's bliss and in other ways it's not.
Oh. Yeah. Are you in the middle of buttfuck nowhere, Dion?
Well, I took a left turn at buttfuck nowhere and ended up in the middle of fucking, I don't know. My phone doesn't get signal.
That's oh, it. Dear.
Yeah. It's kind of nice, but you know, look, at least I'm not still in Sydney, which is just catching fire in a bad way.
As we normally do at this time of the year.
I was going to say, it's Christmas time. Isn't that the time that we either burn or die?
I haven't left the state, so technically I'm still within the boundaries of New South Wales. I'm just not anywhere near civilization. But I am near a lot of influencers and spray tans. So that might help narrow it down for a few people.
Are you near Faru?
If you believe
oh,
in
no.
things.
Oh,
no. Anyway, yeah. No, but I'm not like, I'm not there. Like, I'm near there. I'm just, I'm so far away that they're still like, no, I don't need phones out where you are. Like, good.
Anyway, sorry, I'm just very pleased that somebody has already picked up on the shit jokes that I made in the ticker.
Oh, good.
Yeah, well done, Pretakanga, for picking up on my shit William the Good Guy as opposed to Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. That's all I needed was one person. Tom, now I can die happy.
God, Quinny, this is why we have a chat. You're supposed to run these jokes past us.
Oh. Sorry.
Oh, no.
I apologize.
Now you're in control. You've just become mad with power. Why are you wearing a Captain America shield? Do you not have a spider t-shirt?
Correct, I don't.
All right.
Nor do I. I'm wearing Black Widow.
Hey, nice. And Beck, you are just looking lovely.
Star Wars t-shirt, so I understand.
I'm on holidays, so woo! You know, you get what you get. You're lucky I'm awake at this point. I could have streamed in front of my Spider-Man shrine, but that would require standing up the whole time, seems like a lot Spider-Man of effort. Shrine,
yes. Is that the one you made with the teacher from No Way Home?
Oh, it's actually when that
damn,
scene.
That's a spoiler.
Well, I'm sorry. No, well, and also, Missy has asked in the chat. Is like, is this a full spoiler cast? And is it? Let me ask.
No, not until the spoilers come up. Dion, do you not read the posts that we post on the periodic table?
Well, obviously not.
You clearly
have. Have I not explained that I don't have reception?
This is the part of the podcast where I don't tell you that Uncle Ben is Mephisto and he marries Mary Jane at the end.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. Who is Uncle Ben Mephistoing?
What?
Oh.
I remember why I rarely do these podcasts anymore.
You, why don't you
look so offended.
Oh, dear.
I am a serious comic book fan here to talk seriously about comic book movies, okay?
Yeah,
and we're not wish to talk ones. About Mephisto in it.
While everyone has just gone, hey, Chip, in the background, we want, let's talk about Chip.
Hey, Jesus. Chip!
Hey, Mr. Chip.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
And like, thank you so much to Gary Proudley for gifting a bunch of subs.
Oh,
thank
shit.
You so
thank
much.
You, Gary.
Oh,
I didn't actually
Merry
see that
Christmas.
Come through. Yay. Yeah. Gary, you are, of course, a mensch. A wonderful, wonderful mensch. That's a good thing. Just in case people don't know Yiddish or whatever, that's a good thing.
In this universe, that's a good thing.
Yes. Oh, look at you getting stuck in already. So, what are we talking about tonight?
Spider-Man.
Yes.
Yes,
that
little film.
Answer.
Yeah. Bring me pictures of Spider-Man.
Sorry,
Spider nudes.
That doesn't
spider
work
nudes.
These days. What is it? Do you have to bring Instagram live videos of Spider-Man?
Technically, I don't want pictures of Spider-Man. I just want flip pics.
Oh, no.
I hate it.
Shut it down, everyone. Go for the day.
It's not getting any better than that, ever.
No. It can't get any better.
I do, however, desperately want that on a T-shirt. So, you know. I don't know whether our usual T-shirt person is right here or not, but there you go.
Send me flip pics.
Yes.
Oh, good. Look, when did this come out? When's it out? It's been out for a while, and I just want to, like, I'm going to say
a while.
Away. I saw
a
this
while.
Today.
It came out this weekend.
No, last week.
Came out last Thursday.
Like, yes. This most recent. Yeah.
But I only saw
five
it like,
days
this,
ago.
This morning. I saw it this morning, so it's like.
So it is super fresh in your mind then?
Yeah. Like, I didn't get to go last week when you guys went. I went this morning. Well, and I think I have done it. I did a fucking spectacular job of not getting spoiled because I muted all of the threads. I went to a place with no internet.
Spectacular spider work. Nice work.
But also, I went to a place with no internet, and that was very helpful.
Yes. I'm sure it was.
Yeah. I hear that there are people who are still managing to avoid spoilers who still haven't seen it. So
our very
congrats
own Peter
to those people.
Yeah.
My friend Mel is another one.
that Peter isn't here tonight is that she is unable to get to a screening and is now avoiding all spoilers, but also now also avoiding the spoiler thread.
She was only like 150 Ks from where I am. She could have easily made it down to the session that I was in.
Yeah, I'm sure she wanted to drive 3 hours to do that.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Sure.
But we will be doing our very best to keep this first part of this podcast spoiler-free if you are among those people who are happily avoiding spoilers still. So
honestly, Dennis, don't know why you're here, though. Chat,
please don't stuff it up. Hey.
Yeah.
Not yet. You'll have your chance. You have your chance later on.
There are many opportunities coming up. And as such, what is the film about? Can I read you a synopsis?
Synopsis.
What I would dearly love is for you guys to do the Spider-Man song in the background.
Oh, do you want a bit of the Bublé action?
Yeah, go for it.
Yes, okay. The infamous Michael Bublé spider song.
Oh, right.
Because I was like, what?
You forgot about the Michael Bublé Spider-Man theme?
A little bit, yeah.
Damn.
And I just got confused and was very emotional. Okay, here's a synopsis. Bublé me.
Jill, you've got a Bublé.
Oh, fuck. No, I can't do that. I'll do some snaps.
All right. Okay. Spoiler man, trying to avoid all the spoilers you can.
With Spider-Man's identity now revealed, our friendly neighborhood's web-slinger is unmasked and no longer able to separate his normal life as Peter Parker from the high stakes of being a superhero. When Peter asks for help from Doctor Strange, the stakes become even more dangerous, forcing him to discover what it truly means to be Spider-Man.
Watch out.
That was a choice.
Here comes a spoiler man.
Yes. Oh, wow. Sorry. I just saw Rob's thing. Use my Benedict Cumberbatch voice, but in a bad American accent. Oh, no. That is the bad American accent. Peter Parker, what are you doing in my hearing?
The Sanctum Sanctorum.
Yeah. Like, I shouldn't be throwing shade at Benedict Cumberbund, but at the same time, there are
his wig is doing plenty of that. That's some hard front, hairline on that piece that he was wearing.
Did I miss anything by not seeing the Eternals? Were there any
specific
things in the Eternals? No, there's nothing eternally about this. Eternals, sure? I think, is actually a really good film. And it wasn't part of that review, but I'm going to put it in here now. Eternals is good. Okay.
What's your rating? Give us your rating.
My rating is probably a solid 70, which for me
is high.
That's high.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, that's the only one of the new Marvel movies that I haven't seen. But I feel like the what is it? It's kind of like there's the original phases, four phases of the Marvel universe, and then there's now what I consider the awkward teenage years, where it's just in that bit between, like, you know, 15 and 19, where you're just like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I mean, I don't know. You're exploring, you're trying new things, your body's grown a bit.
Eternals is definitely a standalone. It has nothing to do with basically any other movies. You get very light references to things that have happened in the past in Eternals, but you definitely don't need to have seen it to enjoy this Spider movie.
Sure.
No.
But
to be honest,
you need to see Spider-Man 1, Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 1, Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 3, and Spider-Man 1, Spider-Man 2 before you see Spider-Man 3.
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't.
But it helps.
You may be a little bit confused, but if you know about the movies through osmosis of pop culture, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you would have a nice time and just go, oh, yeah, cool, that's fun.
I honestly think that this movie is one that you could watch without having seen any other Spider movies and still enjoy, you know? I feel like if someone was coming in totally fresh to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you could still have a good time watching this movie. You won't get everything, but you'll still have a good time.
Yeah.
Either you won't get shit. if this is your first foray into this Marvel universe, I would be like, what are you, dumb? Like, watch some of the films.
I honestly think that if this is the one that you're like, my great aunt Jimmy wants to see a movie with me and they've already seen Encanto, take them to see Spider-Man. They'll probably have a good time.
Oh, fuck no. Because I'd say absolutely not, because you'd be spending half your time explaining to them what the fuck is going on. Like,
don't go with one of those people. One of those people that was like, and who's he? And where's he from? And what do they do? Like, don't go and see it with one of those
people. I don't take those people to movies. Like, half the time I don't follow what's happening and I know, like, so much about Marvel. So if you're turning to me needing to know the backstory of every single fucking character on the screen, you're going with the wrong person. Like, no.
Right.
I suppose, yeah, that's right. I mean, I have an ex-girlfriend I took to Return of the King, and she asked if we could leave three quarters of the way through.
Oh!
Because she was bored.
Three quarters of the way through?
Yeah.
I made a mistake.
She hadn't seen any of the others, and why did you take her?
You really don't want to come. And she's like, yeah, well, I want to come. And it's like, can we go home now? I'm like, what?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
She made a decision.
We're not together anymore. Yeah. So that's probably.
Explains it.
Yeah. 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 I would say that, like, to get the most out of it, at the very least, you should watch the other Tom Holland Spider films. Like, because for everything else that is about this film, this is the end of a Tom Holland trilogy, I would say. I feel like what has been built in the other two films, this one does a neat job of winding up and setting things to a new status quo.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you should watch the other Tom Holland ones regardless, because they're fucking excellent movies.
True.
Yes.
that's kind of it. Like, you'll get a lot out of it because they're fun. The film itself, what did we think? Did we think that it was too long, too short, the right amount of time? Did you love it? Did you hate it?
Oh, too long, because I needed to pee like twice.
Oh, I did have to run out and pee the first time I watched it, but I ran very fast.
You guys are beginners.
I 10
minutes before the start of this movie. I was like, yes.
I did that, but it wasn't enough.
Very long, and I didn't have a lot of, like, it was very, like, I kind of skipped breakfast to watch it, so it's not like I had an excuse.
I think the general consensus is weak. Fucking
weak.
Look, I've been trying to get my hydration up, thank you very much. So it was just a process of, like, a lot of the water had built up during the day. It didn't matter that I peed before the movie, like, my 2.5 hours, like, still not enough to hold it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that it was a good length of time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think they did the best job I have ever seen of condensing a lot of characters into one movie without it being super confusing. Because that's one of my major problems with past Spider movies, where they've... Because Spider-Man has the best villain gallery of any comic book character ever.
Some would say Batman. But I think they're on par. For the two companies, I'd say they're the best rogue galleries.
I mean, they did the best job that they could do. I'm sad that they didn't include an origin story for Spider-Man. I was a little lost there.
But I would actually say they kind of did.
They mentioned, I mean, even in the trailer, you see, I haven't felt normal since I got bitten by that
ever
spider.
Since I was bit by that spider. Yeah, but I mean, we didn't see it. So how do we know that really happened?
But
he's lying about the spider bite for no reason at all, Dion.
I will argue the point that I think this end of the trilogy, this film is actually setting up a new, that trilogy is an origin story for the Spider-Man that most of us really know. It's the Spider-Man that doesn't necessarily have ties to Tony Stark or anything like that. It's the Spider-Man who is, you know, the red and blue web slinger in New York. Like,
I agree.
And I think, like, even elements of, you know, the Uncle Ben stuff and everything, like, is a part of his origin story. To me, that gets dealt with here. And I was like, okay, it's a long fucking origin. It's three films worth of origin. But I think this is setting the Spider-Man up to be the Spider-Man that we all know and love from the comics from now on.
I think this is a far 100%. More interesting origin than the origin that we know and love. And I think that it's something that we've sorely needed because, I mean, we've got other movies that tell us the origin story. We have a multitude of comic books that tell us the origin story. Basically, he gets bitten by a radioactive spider and then he becomes Spider-Man. That's the fucking origin story. Like, how many times do we need that shown to us on the screen?
You know? How many times do we need to see a pearl necklace dropping on the alleyway?
Like, yeah, exactly. Fresh. Wait, I mean, man,
come on. When does that happen in Spider-Man?
Were you watching?
What the hell, Jill?
No, I'm pretty sure that Tom Holland has said that no, they don't need to do sex scenes with him.
No matter how much they gave a little bit of origin story acknowledgement in this one, they also did it quite a lot with everyone else that was in there, just to make sure that you all understood where they kind of came from. But I love that it's kind of side acknowledged it all. How did you get your powers? Well, I blah, 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 blah.
That this movie shows us so many different villains and their similar origin stories, shall we say, is quite amusing.
I like that a lot.
Yes. Yes. So
I think
if you haven't seen it yet,
to talk about the villains because
I think that we need to tell you that we will discuss some stuff that's in the trailers. So because that could be considered spoilery if you are one of those people who, like me, tries to avoid spoilers as much as possible, like by not watching trailers. So just be aware we'll discuss some stuff that you will have seen in the trailers, including that there are lots of villains from past Spider movies.
Also, for some fucking reason, again, it appears in the Tom Holland trilogy. What is with the Lego Death Star? It has appeared in every single
I like Tom it. It's Holland. A lovely metaphor.
I love it.
What's with but your Lego Mos Eisley Cantina, Dion? It appears in your house every day.
Appears in your house every time I've been there. I just feel like you need to get some personality that doesn't have to do with your Mos Eisley Cantina.
Look, and all I'm saying is if they're going to keep showing the Lego Death Star in these Spider-Man movies, release the fucking set again because they've stopped releasing it and that's why I'm mainly pissed.
That's where
why he's angry. Right. Okay.
Why would you show us a Lego set no one can fucking buy anymore?
Well, someone is angry.
Not really, but about things that just
don't matter in this movie at all.
The Christmas is coming up in case anyone wants to...
What? Go and buy a 10-year-old Lego kit that's probably worth...
Sorry, you're cut out. What were you talking about?
Okay, who do we love? Who are the characters that we got a kick out of this time round?
MJ! Wong.
Yeah.
I love Wong. I love the Sorcerer Supreme. He's great.
Wong is like the only grown-up in the MCU. Like, honestly. He's like, don't do it.
I'm watching you.
Don't do it.
Can I just say that seeing the Green Goblin come back on the screen was something that could have been really bad.
Oh yeah.
But was done beautifully. And in such a way that I think it is something that far outshines his original appearance the original Spidey movies.
Yes.
I gotta say, giving Willem Dafoe free rein and not being smart enough to not hide him behind a fucking Power Ranger mask. And go, hang on, his face is creepy enough as is.
And also
avoiding the other Green Goblin, like the plague, which was great.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that was probably a good thing.
When profiteering a villain, we have not mentioned the shit version that came out of one of them. We just had the others. It's like, oh, this is good.
So I just need to check. Are you talking about the shit Dane DeHaan Green Goblin?
Yes.
Or are you talking about the other goblin in the other? Right. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking about the Dane DeHaan Goblin.
Right. Okay.
Which is terrible. Or also the other hobgoblin-ish thing.
Yeah, well,
they went back to formula.
They do a little nod to the hobgoblin in this movie, which I don't feel is much of a spoiler. But yeah, Willem Dafoe is definitely a highlight of this movie in a big way. Without eating scenery, without anything like that, he is just the perfect level of totally fucking creepy and nuanced and beautiful. Yep.
I was just going to say, and I think that mental illness aspect of it that, you know, was played up so much in Spider-Man 1, you know, where it was like the voices in his head and the goblin was a different character and everything.
Mm.
This one felt a little less, for lack of a better term, cartoony. And I felt like, oh shit, there is actually two distinct characters.
It was treated more respectfully.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I like what that Druidic said. Another great character was the de-aging tech.
Yes, unlike everybody.
Yeah.
There was some very good stuff there of going, I like Doc Ock, who I fucking love. Alfred Molina has always been one of my favorite villains out of this series. And he, I don't know, like I know that he's de-aged to hell, but I thought he was fucking great.
There were some characters that they could have chosen to de-age and they went with a different direction on it too. So I really liked the fact that they sort of picked and chose which characters to de-age and which to allow to have aged naturally in their particular universe. So that was really nice too, that selective de-aging.
Yes. Good. Yes.
I also like the fact that there were some characters that I really wasn't expecting to see in there. Like things like, I knew that we'd seen the lizard in the trailers. It's okay, Dion, so I'm not going for spoilers.
You're warning me, but I'm like, excuse me, buddy?
No, I was, you know, when they put the lizard in there, I was like, is the lizard going to just be kind of, you know, CGI and we'd never see anything? And then to hear Rhys Evans' voice come out of it, I was like, okay, cool, right. Okay, we're doing this for real. And Thomas Hayden Church as Sandman, I was like, okay, cool, right.
The gang's back together.
And I like that they actually honestly had more to do in this film than they did in their own films.
Yeah.
It's like they were given a script and explained what their character was and what their motivations were and why the whole thing was happening.
But the thing is, we didn't...
And making it up as they go along.
Yeah, we didn't have to focus on the origin stories of each of these villains. I mean, there's a lot of characters that we're being fed here. I think the major problem that we see in most of the other films, just superhero films in general that deal with multiple villains, is that we spend half the movie learning how these villains were created and why they're villains to begin with, whereas we come into this movie and they're already there. They're already villains. We get a couple of throwaway lines that are like, here's some not-so-sneaky exposition about why I am the way I am, and then we move on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, it's a great opportunity when they're like, oh, you've come from this universe that's somewhere else. That's it. And I'm going to send you back. The end. Like, what a great start. It's very simple. You've come from a different universe. I'm not your Spider-Man. I need to send you back to where you're going.
I like the multiverse aspect of it where they're kind of looking at it and the villains are like, so what? Hang on. You've got magic in your universe? And what the fuck are Avengers? Yes.
I feel like we're kind of getting to the spoilery point.
Yeah.
I'm just going to steer us a bit away here.
Okay. No, fair. I'll wear it.
What else can you say about the movie that is non-spoilery then? What do you want to talk about before we get into the spoilery
Doctor Strange
section?
Yeah, Doctor Strange is in this movie and he's a bit of a dick.
Yeah. This does feel like a very, like,
when has he not been
kind of like Doctor Strange 1.5 movie? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So he's always been a bit of a dick, but in this, he feels very irresponsible, dick. Yeah. So he is meant to be the grown up. he's meant to be the grown up in this because we're meant to be like seeing the juxtaposition between Doctor Strange, who's like the responsible adult, and Spider-Man, who's a teenager, like in school. And remember, he's been blipped too. Like, I mean, I know Doctor Strange has, but they've 5 years younger than like some other characters that we've been dealing with recently. And it just felt like two teenagers having a fight.
I honestly think, and I'm not sure whether it's intentional, I don't know, but I honestly don't think this is the real Doctor Strange.
There is
something
is that just
like
a theory. It's not a spoiler.
No, it's not a spoiler. It is just a theory. There is enough weirdness about the way that he acts. There's enough, like, kind of, as you say, like teenager kind of snarkiness, and the fact that he's willing to go behind the back of the actual Sorcerer Supreme. And there's a whole thing about there being a thing about, you know, sculpting your beard and your hair and shit like that. And his wig does look shit.
Okay, so if we're going to go down like the Skrull conspiracy theory path, can they actually perform a person's powers when they take
technically
on their body?
Yeah, they can. Like,
but,
well, I mean,
but what we've seen of the Skrull is they look at someone and they transform, and they only have like a very short period of like their memory or something. But how do they do that?
Kind of, look, that hasn't really been explained, but the Skrulls can actually imitate someone so like perfectly, which
could
means
they actually perform a very complex spell like this.
Well, maybe the reason that they can't.
But also, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of stuff that I could talk about with that, but it's going to spoilers, and I won't do that.
Yeah.
How are all the sets? Were they all? Was everything in focus?
I liked the wizard dungeon.
Yeah. Which it was very pretty. Monster.
I like the tree monster in the wizard dungeon.
I like the box of goatee template face dye.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I was like,
some of the small gags
about?
In this movie were fucking hilarious. Like,
it was very pretty. Overall, I think that there were some fight scenes that could have been really fucking confusing, and they were really nicely choreographed to the point where it was very easy to follow, despite there being a lot of elements competing to make this just overall impossible to understand what was going on. They did a really great job of not making that the case. The big fight scene at the end is the one that I'm thinking of. It could have so easily been like the fuck, but instead was like woo. So there's my review of the fight scene.
Could have been the fuck, but ended up being woo.
Exactly.
What I actually one thing I did like very much early on was the interactions between MJ, Ned, and Peter.
Yes, this is something else I wanted to talk about that I just love that you know. All the other Spider-Man movies in the past have just been, you know, Spidey is this dude and he does it all by himself. But this is very much a team movie and he has his little squad and they're all very capable children because they are still 17 years old. And I just, I thought they're dynamic in this movie and they all had something to do. It was just, it was really great.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And Rob, I just want to point out with Flash, I only just realized like the other day that he's the kid that draws the little pencil mustache in Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yes.
Yeah.
I never remembered that before. And then I'm like, oh, hang on.
It's funny.
Wes Anderson, go and watch The French Dispatch.
Oh, yes. Very funny. Yeah.
That's out now.
He did pop up in French Dispatch as well.
Okay, shall we dive into Spoiler Town?
I think we've got to. Okay, I mean, like, there is that thing of...
Spoiler Town. Friendly neighborhood Spoiler Town. Sorry.
Jumping in, do we think that everybody should go and watch it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And then people are asking for ratings as well before we go into Spoiler Town.
Oh. Yeah.
So, right, I want to start with Beck. Beck, can you tell us your rating? I want to know what you thought of it. Is it at least a 75?
I think this movie is an 89 on the Beck scale.
Oh.
On the Bechdel scale.
The Bechdel scale. It's an 89. I think
there are... What's a perfect 100 for you? Like, I'm sorry, I just want to know, what is a perfect 100 movie, Beck?
We've had a 98 from me before, I'm pretty sure.
Was that Logan?
Logan got very high. Logan got very, very high. But for me, it needs to be a movie that I will happily recommend to absolutely anyone. It needs to be a movie that is almost perfect. Considering that 100 is perfect, like 89 is a great score.
Yeah. Oh, no. There's no attack. And also, yeah, I think you're quite right in your rating system there to go, unless you've watched a lot of the other bits, you're going to miss 95% of the jokes.
Yeah.
You're kind of fair. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Oh, Labyrinth is not 100, Rob.
No.
Rob has asked if Labyrinth is 100. Labyrinth is not 100. See, this is the thing with me and movie ratings. It's not just I love this movie, so I'm going to give it 100. Like, yeah, I'm actually, I'm doing this right.
Yeah. That's why she doesn't like coming on here, because she's a professional at this and we're just shit kickers.
Oh, fuck. What are you talking about, Quinny?
Yourself, Quinny. Fuck.
Jesus.
Let me be very clear. I love this movie.
Yeah, good.
Okay. I feel like I gave Into the Spider-Verse a very high rating.
Yeah, probably.
That's an interesting comparison. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, I did watch Spider-Verse like the day after I watched this movie because I just needed more Spider-Man stuff, but I also needed multiverse stuff.
Yeah.
Well, don't worry, Joe, The Matrix is out soon, so you can get into
I don't want
weird
Matrix.
Paracles.
No.
All right.
I don't want it.
I don't Jill. Want Nananu.
Ooh.
Give me a number.
Man, I've been toying with a number all day, waiting for this moment. And, you know, Beck has reminded me of a lot of good points that, you know, if someone is coming into this movie completely, you know, green, they're going to struggle a little bit. But there's still, like, there's so much and it's kind of easy to follow. So I'm going to go 94.
Mm-hmm.
Not a problem. I like this.
I loved it. It wasn't my favorite Marvel movie, but it had so many brilliant moments.
As a matter of interest, what is your favorite Marvel movie?
Ooh, it's a tie now between original Avengers and Thor Ragnarok. As like my highest rated ones. And then they're like tied for first, and then second.
What about Winter Soldier?
I was going to say, yeah. I was wondering. I knew that was coming in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Dionicus, what is yours? Give me a number.
I mean, having only seen it today, I'm still basking in the warming glow of the Spider movie. But I've got to say, based on the fact that I think it is a really, really good tie-up of every Spider-Man movie since
the dawn of time,
Tobey Maguire one that came out. No, not really. You know, I love the fact that we're not talking about all of the TV show and the other Spider movies from the 80s and shit. I really thought it did a fucking exceptional job of just grabbing all of those threads and pulling them together. Mm-hmm. So I would give it 95. I had a lot of fun. I thought it was emotional but also funny and did such a good job of making it work. And everyone got their chance to have a contribute. Well, that's the thing I would say. Everyone in the movie got their chance to contribute, and that's really hard to do with big ensemble casts like
this. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to be like, not even sorry about it. It's fucking great.
Yeah, don't be sorry.
I'm better than the second one, because I didn't really like the Mysterio ending of that one, but sure, whatever. Okay. I thought it was, yeah, it's great.
Okay, very nice. I'm going to go on 96. I fucking loved it. I just smiled and laughed and...
Just need to get one more.
Clapped and had a bit of a cry.
Christ,
and, oh, I'm sorry. I can go, what? Do you want me to go under yours? Sorry.
No.
No, oh, Quinny, funny. Just...
Stick to your guns, Quinny. Don't move around because of me.
I absolutely, because for me, I honestly... And the one fucking thing I wish that I could have done would have been to watch it in a big, full, crazy-ass cinema. Because I was in a gold
and
class.
Then you would be self-isolating.
Yes, I would. I didn't. But I watched
honestly, we got a warning after our viewing.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of what?
A COVID warning.
A COVID warning. Right, yeah. Yeah. Saying that we've been in the same place as someone with COVID. So
I got the same after the West Side Story screening. So yeah, you know what?
I got the same after going to a Coles.
Yeah, I got it for IDA.
Literally
as well, so,
6 minutes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway. But, so yeah, as I say, I sat there and I clapped and whooped and cheered and laughed and realized that I was the dickhead in the cinema who was doing this. And there were maybe five people down the front who were also, you know, getting a bit excited here and there.
Well, that's half the cinema.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know. That's the thing. I was like, oh, I would have loved to have had that moment of hearing an audience react because...
I think the moment a bit of that too.
You know, Captain America gets fucking Mjolnir and an audience loses their shit. Yes. I think this movie has the potential for that, and I missed a little bit of that energy. That's
we
nothing
got a
against
bit
the
of
film.
That, I think. We got a bit of that in my screening. So, yeah, I do recommend, obviously, if you are feeling comfortable and you're in a place where that is a reasonable and responsible thing for you to do, going and seeing it in a cinema is a great experience.
Yeah. And like,
okay,
as we
getting,
said to Peter,
it's getting crazy in the chat there.
It is. We are getting very close to spoilers.
Come on, guys.
Yeah. I know. We're trying to be real cool about this, but you're being real. Okay. So we're going to go to a clip and then we are going to come back and talk about this shit in full.
So if you haven't seen it, fucking log off now because we're going to tell you all spoilers.
Yeah.
Hello, Peter. What have you done with my machine?
Your machine? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. What machine?
Do you want to play games?
Catch! Don't worry, ma'am! I'm coming!
Okie dokie.
Oh,
spoilers!
Yeah. Right.
Down, people.
Okay, just a blanket warning. If you have not seen the film and you do not want to be spoiled for it, please go away now. Because
we love you, but go away.
Like, I cannot say it clearly enough. Shit gets real from this moment onwards.
Yeah.
And I do want to tell you that avoiding spoilers is very difficult for this movie.
Holy shit.
Because there are basically an entire movie's worth of spoilers. Like, the whole movie is spoiler town.
Yeah.
Rena, if you haven't...
Dude.
No. She's been warned. I'm sorry. Okay. You cannot. Everyone has to take personal responsibility in this stream for what is going. And
okay, 5 minutes into the film,
Matt Murdock.
I lost my shit.
The whole cinema gasped. when we saw the cane, and then we were like, "Oh my god!
Oh my god!
They did it already!"
Yes. Goodbye, Blue M&M. Yes, indeed.
Yes, loyal. Why?
Yes,
they were warned. They were all warned.
Yeah, okay.
Just another white boy.
It's true.
And as Rob makes a great point, it matches up perfectly with a reveal in Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Which
Do you think that they did that on purpose?
Yes.
Well, Dion, I'm not sure if you noticed in your screening, but as he's swinging through Times Square, there are Rogers the Musical billboard posters.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's all set at the same time.
It's all there.
Set at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it
goes
all
Kevin...
the way to the top.
I love Kevin Feige's just deadpan, like, well, you know, if we're ever going to have Daredevil back in, we'd definitely use Charlie Cox if he's in anything in the future. Whatever, guys.
Yeah.
Feige. Like, fuck you.
Fuck you, Feige.
I think it was a really good way to kind of set up a whole movie of just get ready for a crazy, wild fucking ride of references. And even if you don't get this one, you're going to get at least, you know, three more. So don't worry about it. And that's something that I really care about, because even though I've read my fair share of Spider comics, I'm coming at this from the perspective of someone who was really worried about the introduction of a multiverse into the MCU. I've been worried about it from the start, from when it's been kind of hinted at, because I feel like one of the great things that the MCU has done has made this Marvel universe way more accessible than it has been previously. It makes it feel like you can go in and watch these movies and understand comics a little more, rather than looking at comic books where there are 17 different runs of this one character and they don't all like have the same timeline and what's going on. You know, there's so many different universes and it's all very fucking confusing if you're just trying to access these characters. And that's something that I love about the MCU. So I was really worried that introducing all of these kind of boys club moments of like, here's a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and you're not going to enjoy this movie unless you get all of these references, was going to fuck it up for those of us who just want to enjoy the movies by themselves. But I feel like they did a great job with this of introducing a multiverse without ruining it.
Yeah. And I love that they kind of go, okay, your first bite of that, we've reintegrated the Netflix shows, but it doesn't matter because it's just a lawyer who just happens to be really fucking quick with his hands. If that's all you take away from it, cool. If not, there's three seasons of fucking amazing TV for you to go through now. Oh, and by the way, it all ties in. And it's funny. I rewatched the first episode of Daredevil. And like they're going through apartment buildings talking about how rents have been reduced after the incident being the Avengers 2012 incident. Mm. And I'm like, they were always part of the universe, but...
Yeah. I saw a video that explained it, that it goes one way but not the other. So the TV goes into the movies, but the movies don't go into the... No, wait. The other way around.
Now they do.
The other way around.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a theory that this is a soft reboot for Daredevil and bringing it in, because they were Netflix entities done by Marvel TV.
It's a soft reboot for everything.
And now that Disney owns Marvel Studios... They're still two separate things. So it's a soft reboot.
There is a lot of discussion in the chat at the moment about the MacGuffin for why Peter wanted to change people's memories. Missy doesn't like it. Personally, I liked it a lot.
Being a university thing. And I think, honestly, focusing on the fact that it was university or college is a little much. I think that, and I believe someone in the chat, Rob, was saying that it's actually more about his mistakes affecting his friends.
Yes.
And I think that's actually what it was about, is that he's realizing.
It's not that he didn't get into uni. He was trying to get his friends in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's realizing that his actions have impacted the people around him. And I don't think it had to be college. It could have been anything else. This is actually a more interesting and nuanced version of the whole, oh, no, Mary Jane has been captured and is hanging off a cliff. You know, it's just, oh, no, the people I care about are now being impacted because of their relationship to me.
But also it's so the whole story is about him growing up and learning to take responsibility for his own actions, including the phrase, with great power comes great responsibility. But what...
Responsibility.
Shut up.
Can we try to be serious?
I was trying to be serious and I said responsibility. And don't fuck.
Remember that great line from Captain America? I can do this all nay.
Fuck you all.
Hulk smoosh.
Hulk smoosh is genuinely great, though.
I'd love to see your podcast of pretty butchering catchphrases.
My point being, the film is about growing up, and what he realizes is that what he does has an impact on other people, but it's not just him being Spider-Man. It's not that they're being taken by a big bad guy and threatened. It's that their whole fucking lives are ruined.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is like, yes, it's just university, but it's actually, hang on, being near me is going to ruin people's whole lives, not just endanger them. Fuck them.
I also love that there's talk about that. Oh, he's just being naive and childlike about those sorts of things. But I actually kind of like that was called out by Doctor Strange later. He's like, wait, so the first thing you do was to come to me and do a mind wipe spell instead of just going, wait, can I appeal the decision?
Yeah.
Like, did you call them? What did they say when you called them? And he's like, wait, what? I can call them?
It's
like,
it's a problem that we see a lot in superhero movies, which is that superheroes tend to believe that they need to have super...
answers.
Problem-solving solutions, they could just be human problems. And I think another thing that we need to remember, because we're still talking a lot about this college being the impetus for this issue here, is that as Australians, college and university are not a massive deal for us. I've never been to university. I'm doing great in life. Yeah. But in America, college acceptance is actually a massive fucking deal. Like huge. If you don't get into college and a decent college, it will actually ruin a lot of your future chances. So just putting that out there.
Mm. Sure. I mean, look, hey, that's all just, you know, reasoning for what was going on. It was sort of kind of, it could be easily construed as shitty reasoning, but what were they trying to do here? It wasn't their main focus on getting the motivation right for Peter's character. It was we have all of these characters. How do we get them in there without fucking up?
Yeah.
I was quite confused by the whole actual what the spell was involved. You know, like,
I love that he rewrote it like six times. It's like,
it was kind of like it started out, so everybody that knew that Peter Parker was Spider-Man is going to forget that little thing. And then somehow he fucked it up. But now everybody that knows you are Spider-Man is coming here, but then kind of not everyone. Yeah. And then some people that didn't know that he was Spider-Man.
It was very confusing.
It was super confusing. And even when they're trying to rectify the spell at the end, I was still really confused.
Why wasn't Kang there straight away? He knew. He knows everything.
It also kind of felt like that was kind of the biggest thing that was like, this is not at all Doctor Strange-y, where he just went, I'm just going to start the spell.
Yeah,
and
not
talk to you about what it does. Like, this is this is.
He didn't ask for any parameters.
Yeah, this is going to change your life. Do you want to talk about this? Do you want to, like, let's lay this out exactly what we're going to do? He was just like, it's going to change your life. Are you sure? And he's like, yeah, go for it. And he's like, great, we're going to make the spell.
Which to me is why my theory about it not being like the normal Doctor Strange is starting.
Do you think he's the evil Strange from What If, or is that just getting into like that Strange is actually the evil one? And I know that we've gone to spoilers, and at the end of the film post credit, we get to see evil Strange does turn up in Multiverse of Madness.
Technically, he's not evil Strange. He's Strange Supreme.
He's full of demons. He ate a bunch of demons.
We're getting into another story, a different level of spoiler.
But we're in the spoiler time.
We are in spoiler time.
I know, like that's
just
not
trying
actually
to keep
this movie.
A train of
it's a trailer
going
for
here.
The next movie.
if there's one thing that I wasn't like 100% on is I could have, I think someone just mentioned in the chat, was like, where was Bruce Campbell? And I'm like, yeah, I kind of wanted to see a few more of the side characters from the first Spider-Man trilogy turn up in this one. Like,
two,
I would like to see the three. Landlord.
Actually, that been was funny. Something I did fucking love at the end where he got his little apartment and I went, oh, hang on, is that actually, that could very easily be the same apartment from... The
same apartment, yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, I like this.
I also love that he sewed his own suit and it was shit and made of terrible...
It was the fucking end of the movie again. Can we just, like,
this...
Rewind.
Yeah, reel it back. Because I've got a lot to talk about these spider people making their own fucking suits. As someone who works with spandex, it's not something you do to build a perfectly fitted spandex bodysuit without ever having sewn anything before. Like, I love you, Tom Holland. You're not a seamstress.
But no.
Like, no.
Anyway, bringing it back a little bit.
Yes. Okay.
Can we talk about Ned being magical?
Oh. Magical Ned? Do you like...
The fact that Ned was able to create portals in no time at all when it took Doctor Strange so long to work that out is just what's going on there? Is that
that helps the plot move forward.
Yeah, but is it a nod to Ned actually being incredibly talented, or is it, you know, just
we needed this to happen? His grandma always said that he was talented and there was magic in the family, and then there was that long lingering shot on the, you know,
of the swords on the wall. Yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah. And then he just had to concentrate hard enough and it helped the plot.
Yeah.
And I was really happy with that.
I think it's
fine.
He was able to create portals. It was barely an inconvenience.
Super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Well, when you've got three Spider-Men.
Okay, you said
my God.
I love that they waited so long to bring them in, though.
Yes.
Sure. Yes.
Because
just,
for me.
You know, it was like the Into the Spider-Verse all over again. But in real life. And I was like, yay.
Yes. Well, for me, the thing that I liked about that is what we'd seen in the trailers had been the bad guys, and what the two-thirds of the film, or the half of the film up until that point, was about giving those bad guys time. Like, it was reintroducing them, giving them their reasons, giving them some screen time, reminding you of all of their different things, and allowing Willem Dafoe to fucking... you know, act up a fucking storm.
That moment where he's being punched repeatedly and just has the same shit-eating grin the whole time.
Yeah.
I love Gollum Dafoe. He's great.
It's so good, though. It was so creepy in such a beautiful way that we didn't get in the, like, the movie that he was meant to be his movie.
Yep.
Like, it was just beautiful. Yep. And... can I just, because we're skipping ahead here, talk about the
Aunt May scene? You can jump around wherever you want.
Holy fuck me.
The moment where she's standing there defending Peter, just
she's such a
my
badass.
Heart.
Oh, sorry, I got all chills again.
Yeah. She's standing there badass, holding like a tire iron or something, whatever she could find to defend her superpowered nephew. Like, it was just, it was the most beautiful thing. And I think it was done so well.
Wait, happy is unhappy? Happy's unhappy. The unhappy happy part was sad. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. It does.
Unhappy, happy, or sad. It makes sense when you've seen the movie. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Can we technically say that May was fridged? Like, is that a mean thing to say?
No,
that
it didn't feel like she was fridged at all. Mm. It did not feel like a fridge.
Even though she died to progress the story of a man.
I don't think she did die to progress the story. The story would have progressed whether she died or not. Mm. Her dying was not the impetus for Peter to, you know, carry on by any means.
Okay. No, if her dying was essentially a thing that allowed him to suddenly realize that, you know, it's a thing of growing up and going, although these people around me have their own tragedies. Like, my favorite word is Sonder, the moment that you realize that other people have their own internal monologue and everything. And I feel like that, you know, just before the climax when he's talking to the two other ones and they're talking about who they've lost, is that moment of Sonder where he's realizing, I've been thinking about me for this whole fucking time. Mm. I've been thinking about my girlfriend, my Aunt May, my everything. Oh, hang on. Everybody's hurting here.
Yeah.
And
everybody hurts.
That's a good comfort point. Comfort in yourself and yourself.
Yeah. It did feel like that moment in time, though, was one of the only bits of this movie where the Spider Parkers are all talking to each other about their personal trauma. Did kind of feel like the only point in the movie where they were like exposition dump. And it didn't feel as necessary or as clean as the rest of the movie. It felt like a bit of a low point. That's where the person I went to the bathroom and he came back and I was like, he didn't miss shit. Don't worry about it.
I disagree entirely. I fucking loved that scene. I loved that scene because to me that was about growth. It was three characters saying, okay, we've all got experiences. And you're allowed to dislike it. That's completely fine. I just disagree.
Also, those guys are older than Tom Peter. And I think it was kind of like a moment.
You mean Peter 1?
Peter 1. It was like a moment.
Spider-Man 1, Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 3.
I also like that they're willing to be like, no, okay, I'm fine. I'm the second one. I'm the third. Sorry, Jill.
Anyway, it was a moment for them to connect with him and say that, hey, like, we're all the same dude here. Kind of like this is like, don't be so hard on yourself and don't think that this is all your fault, because you know there are a lot of other factors involved in this, and you know you're going to be okay. You can pick yourself up and you can keep going on.
The biggest thing that I saw from it was the kind of setups for the final fight scene, though. Like, the setup for Andrew Garfield Spider-Man to be like, in my movie, I lost my girlfriend. And then I'm going to save her. I'm going to save your girlfriend later on, and it's going to be a moment.
I actually loved that bit.
Me too.
Just feel like such a setup. As soon as he said it, I was like, oh, well, now we know, like, he's going to rescue Zendaya and it's all going to be like, it's my redemption arc.
I love Andrew. And I, like, forgot how much I missed his Spider-Man when he appeared. I'm like, oh, I forgot how cute you were. God damn you.
Amazing Spider-Man.
Beautiful hair.
Yeah, big hair. I rewatched Amazing Spider-Man. I haven't been able to find Amazing Spider-Man 2 around online easily. But the first one is a fucking great romantic comedy that happens to have a shit Spider-Man film like nail gun to the side of it.
Blue tacked to it with the blue tack coming off in the corners.
Like, the lizard is fucking terrible, and everything with the lizard is fucking terrible. So I was like, really?
You brought also Andrew Garfield as a student at a high school was like, he's not Peter Parker. Peter Parker.
I liked him. I liked him.
Yeah. I honestly feel like that's the biggest problem with those past Spider movies. is that they kept on trying to put someone who is very obviously not a teenager in a teenage universe. They did it with Tobey Maguire. They did it with Andrew Garfield. And that's one of the things that I loved about our Tom Holland Spidey is he actually feels like a child.
Do you like how they all did
movie
their...
set in high school, though?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Did you all like 30 at the time?
did you all like their individual poses that they did? Because I really liked that they kept all the individual poses from them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. You all guys know what you're doing there, and that's fine. I mean, I miss the jazz cool Maguire doing a, like, yeah, the...
Oh,
but I also feel like Tobey Maguire was just sort of sitting there going, "I'm just happy to be in this film."
Oh my god, he was just like, so earnest.
Huge energy, and just I'm happy to be on screen again, guys. How are you all going?
If there's an Oscar for most earnest performance, it goes to Tobey Maguire. Oh my god,
and he also think, where do you make your web?
Oh, <right. laughs> I love that they're like. You can see everybody being like, that's kind of gross. And yeah, I'm uncomfortable with this.
I really loved Andrew and Toby's interactions with each other as, like, you know, the sidekick Peters. You know, whenever, like, Tom Peter is off, like, doing something and the other two are, like, you know, broing out on the side. I love the, oh, yeah, I've got a back thing too. Like, I'll crack your back for you. And he's like, yeah, oh, dude, I'm the lame Spider-Man. He's like, no, you're amazing.
No, you are amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that one was a little on the fucking nose, but you know what?
No, I don't care. That shit was so cute.
This was good because I'll agree to the earlier comment that, like, it was nice in the timing.
This is something that somebody sent me. This is the a bunch of this is spoilers from Spider-Man with no context. And it took me a moment to work out what it was, but there's somebody throwing a brick through the window and I went,
oh, right. Oh my god, the bread rolls.
There's the Emperor Palpatine, there's the back crack, and then the bread rolls. And I was like, and this is what Village Cinemas is using to advertise the film. And I was like, fucking genius. Well done.
I'm one of those people who fucking hates anyone posting spoilers, no matter how like they are. So do better.
Rob, did you forget the bread roll bit? It's like, I want just if you've got a tingle. And he's like, I do have a tingle, but just not for bread rolls.
Please stop throwing bread rolls at me. All across the ceiling. I mean, I go back to that earlier point that you, I think, was made about it really worked because it gave the villains their own time to do their own stuff first and then allowed the thing that everyone was coming for was to see multiple Spider-Men in a movie. It was the right timing because it didn't need to go forever. The whole movie wasn't about three spider people being together in the same room.
Exactly. Yeah.
The whole movie was about these villains, and then at the end it did it that way. And I also liked a lot of the redemption and a lot of that underlying current that was pushed by Aunt May in this, which is like you have to take care of each other. You have to try to do good. You don't have to succeed at it. But
I didn't agree with all of Aunt May's things that she was saying and the pressure that she put on Peter. I feel like putting that sort of pressure on a teenage kid just because they happen to have superpowers is a lot.
Would you have pushed the button on the box? There's the question. Would you have pushed the button on the box?
Yeah.
What's in the box?
Like...
Death to my enemies.
That actually made me feel less connected to May because I felt like she wasn't taking into account the fact that Peter, this child that she's meant to be responsible for, is still a very young kid who has taken on a lot of responsibility already. He's saved the world. He's gone to outer space and fought aliens. Like
saved half the universe.
Exactly. Like... And then she's saying, you know, you have responsibility for all of these random strangers who have just shown up and are, like, very ill. You know.
Yeah,
like,
it is a lot,
it's
you know.
It's now on you, small child, to take care of this.
It's a lot.
I feel like that's not responsible parenting.
Come on.
So...
it's a lesson I'm trying to teach myself right now as well, that, you know, you don't have to be responsible for every client that walks into your office.
Yeah. Maybe it's I've gone through a lot of therapy for, you know, learning that my emotions are more important and should be more important to me than other people's emotions. Like, self-care. Yeah. It's a thing, May. Yeah. It's a thing. But
she's rolling in her grave now.
Wow.
No, she can't roll over because she got stabbed. So she's just...
And I did quite like the play on that, because as soon as she got knocked down, I'm like, well, she's fucking dead. But then they actually dragged it out for a little while. And I was like, oh, actually, maybe she's okay. No.
Jeez.
I kind of liked how that actually is something that can easily happen. Like, if you get injured in a way, you can actually stand up and be like, oh, fuck, that was weird, and then walk around and just kind of be like, actually, I don't feel right because, oh shit, I've bled out internally.
I'm bleeding internally into all of my cavities. Yeah.
I just need to anyway, take
breath. Happy days, or not so happy days. I'm sorry,
but John Favreau. I felt like it was done really well. Yeah. It was really well done. It was very hard hitting. It was very emotional. I cared deeply about May, even though I disagreed with her parenting tactics there.
Also, a nice little bit of a throwback to the end of Green Goblin at the end of the first film. You know, if your glider is the thing doing the killing, that's cruel. And I liked it.
Rob has asked about Uncle Ben. There is Uncle Ben in this universe, and he is referenced but never seen.
Did we damage control references at the start?
I enjoyed a bit of that.
Yeah.
It's kind of come on since the Vulture times, which is, you know, a government agency, and now it's just kind of like assholes. But yeah, that was.
Yeah, okay. I don't know what kind of fucking authority they have, because really they were only set up by Tony as a cleanup crew for the shit that they caused in like the first Avengers. So what kind of police authority do they have to be arresting people?
They probably got overreach and massive funding under Trump, and that's why they've become basically the one-stop, you know, Avengers shop.
Damage control the ones that pinched all the stuff from the facility Avengers and are selling it on the black market in Hawkeye.
Maybe. I actually love the fact. One thing I want to call out as being really cool. I like the J. Jonah Jameson in this. Because right at the start, he is a dude in a basement with a fold-out table
who suddenly goes to like me.
There that I can't be fucking
yelling. And then it's like, and then it moves on to now he's got funding and selling supplements and being just a fucking idiot. That's perfect. But also, I wish people would stop doing that as a bit of a nudge, nudge, wink, wink joke, because stop making these people relevant. Yeah. They're insane. They're peddling bullshit.
I liked that he wasn't given a full role in this movie. He was very behind the scenes of everything that was happening, because I think,
if he had
too much control in like the narrative of what was happening, I don't think it would have been as a successful movie.
Sorry, there was a technical Ghostbusters Afterlife spoiler I was going to do. And nope. No.
You look really excited for a second. And I was like, what's he?
No, next year. That's 2022, Dion.
Yes.
I have just seen in the chat that some people are talking about Venom. Venom in the end trailer of Venom. It's hinted that he was going to show up in this movie. And then in the end credits scene number one, we see him in this universe, but then he promptly fucks off.
I did look at that and I thought, why did you do that?
Because that's how they got Venom in.
They did that to leave the symbiote behind.
The symbiote bit.
But at the same time, it's just like, okay, well, you can't have Tom Hardy Venom. Tom Hardy Venom's in another universe and you're never going to talk to him.
I really dislike Venom in the cinematic universe that we've got at the moment.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Do not like those movies. I do not like that Venom.
Carnival of Carnage was shit.
Yeah.
I was really hoping to not have to deal with Venom with my Tom.
And you don't now. No, you just have to wait for Topher Grace's return. Well, we have
the symbiote in the universe, so let's see.
Yeah.
If they can do a decent version, and it would be an interesting idea that this is a symbiote who has an entirely different universe worth of experience and is like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. And goes looking for an Eddie and finds a totally different Eddie Brock, or goes down the path of, you know, infecting Flash like they do in the comics or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I want to see Tom Holland get infected by this symbiote.
Tom's a good actor. He could pull
he
it
can
off.
Play, he can play Dark Tom. Ooh, I'm Bad Tom.
Dark Peter.
Dark Tom.
Little goody two-shoes. Little goody two-shoes.
We've seen Dark Tom in a number of other movies recently, and he does it well. So
can I just also, while we're talking about,
as long as he doesn't do that fucking dancing bullshit.
How many people did anyone in the chat see in the multiverse breaking open and people starting to come through? How many people did you see in the sky? We can go with the first two ones that were very easy, which was Rhino and Kraven the Hunter. Did anyone see anyone else that was in there? And was anyone disappointed or thoroughly disappointed that we just didn't get a glimpse of Into the Spider-Verse characters in that thing? I mean, like, just to see... like the Miles Morales swing through one of the backgrounds would have just been like, wow.
I agree, but I didn't like. I like the reference that was given to that through Electro. You know, that whole thing. That I always assumed that, you know, it was disappointing to see a white boy underneath that hood. And knowing that there is a universe out there where there isn't a white boy under the hood. And you're like, yeah, nice. I like that. That was our Miles reference, but
we were ready for Miles to show up too, because he's been mentioned in Homecoming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's there. He was mentioned in the Spider-Man? No, which one was it? Oh, yeah, it was Homecoming.
It was Homecoming.
I thought it was Garfield, but no.
No, okay. Homecoming.
No. And And did we
honestly,
like
I didn't want to see any more other people coming through those things.
Yeah,
I think the silhouettes was enough. Anything else would be on the nose.
Yeah.
Did we like the redemption of Doc Ock?
Yes. Especially I mean, there's so much to Doc Ock's story for those who read the comics. I mean, Doc Ock has been Spider-Man in the comics.
Yes, Superior Spider-Man. Yes.
So... there's a lot more to his character that we haven't seen before in movieverse. So it was kind of nice to see a little more nuance to him.
Mm. And there were a couple of times where he was just doing lines, you know, the power of the sun and the palm of my hand. And I was like, yeah, we've already done that. And I did have a slight concern that they were just going to try and riff off old lines from previous films. But then they went in their own direction. And I liked that they, you know, managed to at least partially redeem some of those bad guys. There's a part of me that wished they'd chosen a better fucking design for the lizard, because I still hate that lizard design.
Oh, boo-hoo. I did love that the nanotechnology paired with Doc Ock's arms. And he's like,
yeah. Which looked very much like something from the comics as well. So it kind of, when seeing that in the trailer, there was kind of this question as to whether the nanotechnology would be the thing that like affected the connection there and turned him good.
Yeah, it was kind of like, it's good, yes. And I know I've seen in the chat there, Predaking going, I'm something of a scientist myself.
All of them are scientists who's shit fucked up. That's an ongoing theme.
I think Jamie
apart Fox from Clint actually, Marco, who's just a dude, he's still a thug. Yes. I think the Thomas Hayden Church did nothing new, and I was like, yep, cool, great.
No, because he's just he's the Sam, he doesn't have to do anything. Like, he's on screen for 2 minutes, and then he just goes, well, now I'm just doing ADR. I'm not acting opposite anyone. I'm just a whirlwind of sand. Yeah.
Yeah. I do love Jamie Foxx's line of like, "Got to watch where you fall, man."
I do love. I love the fell into a vat of electric eels. Oh yeah, that'll do it.
I fell into a Large Hadron Collider. Oh yeah.
Watch where you fall. Yeah.
I just love that idea that like all of the, you know, there's science and shit everywhere, but they're still all like, yeah, no, if you fall into a vat, you're going to turn into a bad guy. It's simple.
Yeah.
That's just multiverse theory 101. And that was part of the thing I really liked too. I like that this universe, or Tom Holland's Marvel universe, was the one where all the cool shit is. And everyone wants to be in this universe.
Yeah. And it was really interesting to see how that interacts with stuff. Like Electro grabbing the arc reactor. Mm. And the fact that that's like, holy shit, that's like massively problematic. And wouldn't have been an issue in the original universe that he was in. So
And even the nanotech. You know, like Ock is immediately going, oh shit, hang on, nanotech, this is good shit. This is more powerful than I've ever dealt with. Fucking nice.
You've been improving things, but I also like the Avengers. What are they? Wait,
are you in a band?
Yeah.
I like that was Garfield too, because it's just, he is the one that you could imagine totally would like to be in a band. You know,
I mean, if you watch his most recent series,
oh yes, I still need to see it.
All musical based. There you go. Yeah.
I really like him as an actor, and I like that they introduced him first. I was kind of like, oh, good. Because we love Toby. Toby, you know, Toby's a great dude and everything, but as you say, Dion, he did just kind of look like he was just happy to be here. Whereas
I'm just having a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all doing a thing.
In the 90s, when he was 30, playing a teenager.
Yeah.
And I love that they just kind of like youth pastor Spider-Man.
The cool youth pastor outfit.
And he knew it, and he's just like, this is great, guys. I'm just having fun doing some spider stuff, you know. I also like how low-key he is, which is like, oh, yeah, I've been stabbed before. I know what's going on.
Well, back on there makes a good point. That Andrew kind of did get ripped off. Like, his films, as I said, they're perfectly lovely little romantic films that happen to have shit Spider-Man stuff attached to them badly. Mm. And it's nice that he finally gets to do it. And I do think it's slightly sad that at the moment the thing trending is Amazing Spider-Man 3, because everyone's like, oh no, you let him finish his trilogy. I'm like,
we don't need it.
I mean, I'm kind of down to see Paul Giamatti's Rhino back again.
That's the only thing I do want to see.
Yeah, I mean, are you sure? I'll do it. You know? Do I need to see weird blue Electro? No. I'm good with, like, this Electro was kind of good. But, you know, look, hey, I'm not sure whether it felt like such a nice wrap-up of all of the Sony Spider things into at least a package enough that can, as you said earlier, start again. So that's why I kind of went, this is way better than I expected. It's the best Marvel movie I've seen for quite a few releases now, including some of the TV shows. I just had a really nice time with it. And I'm curious to see what they're going to go in the future, because they kind of do have to do a hard reboot. And I think that's what this Multiverse of Madness will have to end up doing.
Oh.
It will have to do a reboot for the Kang villain section. How do you rebuild the Avengers? How do you redo everything in order to start again to create new stories and characters and people? And remember now, we've got people who grew up as kids reading comics who have now watched a whole series, who have kids, who are kids now. And by the time they get around to finishing up this section of movies, kids are going to be adults who have kids again, and they're going to want to restart it. Where do you go from there? Just keep churning the cog on the machine to produce content forever.
Well, I mean, they are kind of sort of doing that. I mean, when we have the Marvels next year, they're going to be introducing not so much introducing Kamala, because she's got a TV series coming out, but I mean, that's like a point of difference and saying like, oh, well, here's like the next generation. Not to mention that they've done a brilliant job of sneaking in a lot of the characters for the Young Avengers, which could be another jumping off point. I mean, the trailer for Doctor Strange is showing us America Chavez. So, like, I'm super pumped to have, you know, Miss America.
When do we get Avengers babies? Avengers babies.
I like that. So I was just like, how about no?
And that's why she doesn't join us on podcasts.
I don't know. I feel like Tom Holland's time is done and now Beck's going to like tap out of the Marvel Universe.
Also,
Tom Holland's time is done. I'm offended on multiple levels here. I'm offended on so many levels. First of all, that you think that I only got into the Marvel Universe because of Tom Holland, when you know that I have reviewed Marvel movies prior to Homecoming coming out. Like, I have been here this whole time. Second of all, Tom Holland is brilliant and the best thing to happen to the Marvel Universe. So, going anywhere. Thank you very much.
And also, they have said that they are now looking to actively develop more stuff. He has said that he would like to take a break.
That's fair.
Go and, you know, do life things for a while. But at the same time, Sony and Marvel are just looking at their fucking massive bank from this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yes.
Fucking huge.
I mean, he doesn't have to have another solo movie. I mean, there's nothing to stop him from popping up in other franchises. I mean, they're quite successfully doing that for a lot of movies right now, you know, having people crossing over into each other's films.
Will he become the Robert Downey Jr. of the next cinematic
section
where he doesn't
a linchpin of the next Avengers?
Yeah, it's just kind of like, Iron Man's been in this one. Oh, yeah, just kind of turning up. It's Spider-Man's been in this one for half a second. Can I ask a question before you move on.
The thing I like about where he's at the moment is that he's not a linchpin anymore. Like, what they have done for him at the end of that movie is set him free of all Avengers, all, you know, Marvel cinematic stuff. He can now go back to just being Spider-Man and tell clean stories that don't have to be tied to all the rest of the universe.
He can just rely on Stark Tech, anything like that.
He can just go out and hang out with Matt Murdock.
Once again, you cannot sew spandex like that. With
also,
no practice.
It's dance spandex, so all of that foil is going to rub off between the thighs. There's a lot of chafing going on with that material.
And how does he know?
It peels
like,
very
it's
easily.
So smooth when he's wearing it. He has to have done multiple layers of that spandex.
Oh, yeah,
that look.
Stuff is thin.
Like,
yeah.
Every Spider-Man does this. Every fucking Spider-Man goes out. That's one of the things I loved about the Tom Holland, like, custom suit is that it looked a bit shit. You know, it was a hoodie. Like, that made sense. And now they're like, oh, yeah, we just put some fabric next to a sewing machine. Ta-da, he's a magical, perfectly fitted, talented tailor. Like, no.
Especially the Andrew Garfield one from the first Amazing Spider-Man, which includes a whole bunch of screen-printed rubber and a whole bunch of textured shit that I'm like, no, no.
And it made sense when Tony made the suit.
Exactly. Like it was legit, whereas the others are always just a bit like, how did you know how to do the rubberizing and
to skip from the obvious like suit problems, the problematic suit issue that they all have. Can I ask if did anyone else get a real kind of art imitating life vibe from Tom Holland and Zendaya talking to each other about, no, it's all right. We'll just get through this. You just have to get through all this together. This constant pressure of the media following us, and we just have to be honest with each other now that they're literally dating.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a whole bunch
of, I feel
like
they've been literally dating for quite some time. We just didn't have the confirmation on it. And also,
it's
like,
so sweet.
They're handling it. They got this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's better than, like, I mean, you know, I don't really want to watch Dune 2 now and seeing this thing with Timothy Chalamet and Zendaya falling in love. I'm just gonna be like, this is not true. Just recast Tom Holland in Dune 2 and we'll
be like, okay, so in Dion's opinion, Tom Holland can never act opposite anyone other than Zendaya and vice versa.
Yeah.
Unless you want me to be
limiting to their careers, Dion. Yes. But I do. I want to pull out what that Druidic says. Andrew Garfield should get a Best Actor nod for the last 2 years of denying that he was in this fucking movie. Absolutely. Like,
and also, I love the fact that no one No one asked Tobey Maguire, probably because they were like, "Ah, oh, where's Toby?" And Toby's like, "Right here." And it was like, "Yeah, where's Toby? Wish we could get
Toby
a
hasn't
Toby.
Been doing any press tours or anything. To be fair, so you know."
Yeah.
It's not like many people had the opportunity to ask him, whereas Andrew Garfield has had quite a bit coming out, including Tick, Tick, Boom, thing that I mentioned before.
I was on Netflix right now.
Yes.
Yes. Well, and I will say, I think they did a pretty fucking good job of keeping it all quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, aside from the one fuck up with the lizard getting punched in one trailer...
Yes.
Well, and when that shot happened,
they did it real quick.
In the film, I watched the shot and I was like, "Who's actually it's Andrew Garfield."
Yeah.
I was like, "Yay!"
I didn't see that. One thing that someone else noticed that I did not, the person I took with me to the screening, noticed in the trailer that the hand that reaches out for Zendaya is not the same suit as Tom Holland's.
Oh.
Mm.
I also like it when you did that, Beck. You were just like showing your pot plant, which is what it was. The person that I went to see was my pot plant. I took my pot plant to see the movie.
The person that I went to see, this pot plant's name is Robert Plant, just for those of you who were wondering.
That's amazing. Good.
Excellent. I love it.
There you go. I should say, though, that I have dinner on the way and we've just hit 9 o'clock.
Yay! Yeah, well, look, it's the you get extra special long time for pre-Christmas because we're not doing anything this Friday.
Yeah.
Apart from your own very things. We're all going to try to do the things you're supposed to do at Christmas, you know, travel, see family.
Right, yes. All catch those up. Things.
Is that something we're meant to have done?
I am hoping
to. I mean, if you want to, since Friday is like, you know, Christmas Eve, maybe we won't do a show. It's fine.
We're not going to do a show.
We're not.
Look, thank you so much. And also thank you to the people who are part of the TPTR Aid spoiler threads for being really kind and generous because I got to say, the moment that you saw this film on, in some cases, Tuesday night, like a full week ago, would have been a tough fucking week to get through.
Yeah.
Not talking about all of the things that you knew. So congratulations to...
Shout out to our audience for being great people. Yeah. I like good people, not dicks.
Absolutely. And I also want to say, well done for not being like those people in Perth, the motherfuckers who started a gigantic fight in the middle of their screening because some fuckwits came into the screening and started playing clips of the movie on their phone loudly.
The fuck is wrong with people?
Clips with the bits of Toby and
I would have punched them too.
Exactly. So congratulations to everybody who's not a complete cockface.
Thank you for this year of sticking with us while we've gone from, you know, not lockdown to lockdown to bachelor lockdown to don't know if we're going back into lockdown.
Don't say it.
Who knows?
Yeah, don't jinx it.
Yeah.
But, like, we look forward to seeing you in 2022. Come back.
Ew.
We're still talking about things.
And as many people have pointed out, 2022 is now just the sequel to 2020 and nobody's happy. Oh,
yeah, well, I'm not going to take it that way. I look forward to everything going all nice and new and wonderful for 2022.
Okay.
Yay.
Yeah.
Is the blip over yet?
No.
Fuck, I hope it's not 5 years. You've got 5 years.
have a happy and safe holidays and, you know, be kind to each other.
Yeah.
That's all we want.
With great power comes great responsibility.
God, fucking damn it. Oh. You've been holding on to that the whole time, haven't you? Merry Perfect. Christmas to all.
And also a quick shout out to Peter, who couldn't watch Spider-Man 4 tonight. So she's like, I couldn't do it because I couldn't guarantee safety. But she was around. Thanks to everyone.
Love you guys.
Thank you all. We love you all so much.
Good See party, you next whatever year. You
celebrate.
Oh my God.
Have a good
for listening to the Periodic Table podcast. If you have comments, feedback, questions or suggestions, email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. From our website, you can find our Instagram, Twitter, YouTube and Facebook links, as well as ways to donate to the show if you're feeling generous. And of course, you can join in the show live on Tuesday and Friday nights on our Twitch channel. Until next time, stay awesome!